And what's that? And what's that? They call it O-D-D-C. And what that stand for? Tell them what that stand for. That's off the chain. It off the chain. Everything, it be off the chain. It's off the chain. What she talk about be off the chain. It's off the chain. It's off the chain. You know the name. It's Alua going to run the game. O-D-C. Ooh. Oh, what's that? I tell them O-D-D-C. It's off the chain. She about to do a thing. Run it up on YPP. This ODC, hold on, that STL. Now we in the triple D. Now throw your hood up. Where the side at? Where your ride at? Where your vibe at? Now turn it up, turn it up, turn it on, turn it on. Off the chain, and we on. Let it go. And I go by YPP, and I approve this message. Let's run it.
It's your girl, Miss Alua.
Miss Alua? Building,
I wish y'all could hear my freaking intro. Like, OMG, that's all right, y'all will later. But it's your girl, Miss Alua. You're now tuned in to Off the Chain Podcast. And today, I have a very special guest. Somebody I think y'all should know. But I'm going to allow him to introduce himself.
What's going on, family, man? Josiah Calhoun, Mr. Think Smart, nationally known. I'm out here empowering the world with my gift. I'm proud to say that it's growing. I'm proud to say that I'm growing. Man, it's a wonderful life.
Well, I mean, while you're talking, go ahead and give them a synopsis of what you do.
Okay, I'll do that. I'm an empowerment speaker. I'm a writer. I'm an entrepreneur. But I'm still a hustling entrepreneur.
Okay, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm a hustling entrepreneur.
And tell them where you're from. You know, you gotta tell.
I definitely do that. Man, what's up, St. Louis? Stand up. By way of Berkeley, we in here, man. We in the house, man. I always say that. They like, why you say that time, Berkeley? We not. Because Berkeley, we in the house. I'm here,
and I
man.
Say that because you know you can't spell hustle without the STL.
You can't spell hustle without the STL. You cannot do it, man. You know, it's a lovely thing and a blessed opportunity to be on your podcast.
Really?
It is, man, because you know what? You know, I've been asked to be on a few podcasts I've been on. It's cool. Mm-hmm. But to share this couch with you.
And then, I appreciate that.
And then the fact that you're from St. Louis is even better because I know you understand me.
For sure.
You understand me. Like, I don't have to play around. You understand that we ain't got them all. We have them all, but we ain't got them all. We think different.
Basically.
We think different. And no disrespect to right here where we are in Dallas. No disrespect to Dallas. No disrespect to Atlanta, California, Alabama, Mississippi.
We just talking about where we're from.
Every city thinks different because of where you were raised. So that's true. My thought process for certain things. Even though you grow out those things. But, and that's what we're here to talk about. Because we're here to talk about what? Mental health?
Yes. Well, actually, before we get into the topic, which is identifying mental health, and the reason why I chose that topic is because mental health consists of a whole bunch of disorders put together. So it's like I can't talk about, you know, mental health without actually breaking it down to exactly what it is. So I just kind of wanted you all to get to see who we are individually before I get to talking about it. And I may get emotional because I am very sensitive.
Shout out to my fellow Taurus.
So I'm just letting y'all know, bear with me, just in case.
We call that passion.
True, yes, and it is a topic that I am passionate about. So as y'all can see, I ain't even wear no lashes because I already knew the situation. So
depending on where you're watching it, you know if she ain't got no lashes. If you're watching it on YouTube, you can tell she ain't got no lashes. But if you're just listening, you can't tell what she got.
Well, yeah, that's why I said it though, because I know we're recording for YouTube. Yeah, so yeah, see, mind your business.
No, seriously though, on a real tip though,
I wanted to talk about it because, and I don't really know how to word it, but I'm going to just say it so y'all can take from it what you want, but it's like, people that deal with depression and certain issues, it's not normal to feel that way, but it has become normalized because of the time that we're in, mm-hmm. I should say. Mm-hmm. And I really don't know how to really word that, because it's like, some people think it's normal, And it's like, in a way, it is because of what we're going through, but it's not normal. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Some people may get what I'm saying.
I get it. You know what? You know, shout outs, man. We just, we are the breaking point and the ending of Suicide Week. Suicide Awareness.
Well, actually, the whole month is supposed to be there.
Right, the whole month, but you know, you look on the internet where they say it's just supposed to be there. Yeah. But the whole month is definitely Suicide Week, man. And we're gonna, that's a form of mental health.
That's actually another major reason.
Yeah.
That's the why I picked this.
Yeah. I'm gonna let you do the show because I know me and I have my own show and I start taking over and I don't wanna do that.
You are okay. This is your show. You are okay.
Off the chain. This is off the chain. It's not the process. It's not none of the shows that I do. So I'm not going to, you know, do that. It's just, like I said, man, it's a blessing just to be on your show, man. I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate being in the presence of greatness.
Well, thank you.
I do, man.
I appreciate that.
When two great minds come together, great things happen, man. And I appreciate it because I definitely
We're forced to be reckoned with when you work together. If only we can do this on a regular basis, man. Like with other people. I'm trying to tell you. So I got a question for you. So in your opinion, what is mental health to you?
Whew, mental health. I share this this idea and this thought from a very special friend of mine. She she's a social worker.
Mm-hmm. I used to want to be a social worker.
And she's taught me so much when it comes to just mental health, and she is a strong advocate of mental health, and she really, 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 really focuses on it because that's her job. I mean, of course, it's her job, but that's her passion. She's actually building her business now, JTSW, just that social worker. She's building that right now. So shout outs to her, man. Lady Much, and it's gonna crack for you. So,
I'm gonna have to look at her.
Yeah. Right now, it's still in the working, but give it maybe to the end of the year, and you're gonna be able to really tap into it. She's gonna take the thing to a whole nother level. But what do I think when I think mental health, do I think of mental health? Back to the question. Mental health to me is when you think about health, let's focus on the words. Mental, meaning your thought process.
True.
Health, meaning healthy or unhealthy.
Physically,
mentally, whatever. It's about how healthy you are, how good, how bad, how structured, how disciplined you are with your Ooh. Mental. And so when I think mental health is like, I think, you know, you can use the word health, but I'm going to say how disciplined you are with your thought process, how structured you are with your thought process.
Yeah, that's actually a big part of it because, of course, the dictionary mm-hmm. definition of mm-hmm. mental health is a person's condition mm-hmm. With regard to their psychological and emotional well-being. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, pretty much you said that.
I ain't look at the definition. I
did because believe it or not, like I said, when you say mental health, it can mean
so
a billion
much.
Things. So yeah. When people say that, a lot of people really don't know, you know, the mm-hmm. definition of right. mental health. So that's the main kind of reason why I wrote it down. I was like, you know what, I'm gonna make sure I do that. But to me, I feel like that mental health is a great impact on our life, and I think that it's very important in every stage of our life as
yeah,
well.
It is.
From childhood on up to adulthood, mm-hmm. Because what people fail to realize, like myself included, mm-hmm. when we act or react to certain things without strictly our emotions, mm-hmm. that's an issue. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because your emotions is unbalanced, mm-hmm. and it's something that has caused that, whether it was some type of trauma you went through. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Childhood or adulthood. So it's like people fail to realize that mental illness and mental health in general, which it is separate, but they all kind of come together,
right.
you know, just
right.
FYI. But it changes or it affects how we interact with people. Mm-hmm. It affects how we react to things. It affects just our day-to-day, you know what I'm saying, regular activities. And I don't think people really realize that. But it kind of frustrates me at the same time because it's such a general topic. You know what I'm saying? It's general. Like, mental health is so general. Like, I can be extremely tired, or one day you don't want to be bothered. Somebody would probably assume you depressed. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because that is a sign of depression. And that's really not what the case may be. So that's why I said those type of topics, you have to kind of break down as to what it means. And for myself, my mental health is every damn thing. I've been through a significant amount of trauma starting from 3. You know what I'm saying? Own up, and I'm 32 now. So I have a lot of issues that I have worked with, and I actually started counseling last year, and I'm a strong advocate for counseling. So I urge anybody, if you need counseling, or if it's something, well, I'm telling you, a lot of people may not understand that they need counseling until they're tired of their own self.
Right, because somebody, you just need somebody to talk to.
Literally. True, but it's best to talk to somebody that don't know you.
Exactly.
And people don't get that, the importance of talking to somebody that really don't know your situation in a way, but still be able to compromise and understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. Because talking to people that you know, unfortunately, they just as fucked up as we is. So yeah.
Can I tell a story?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
So dealing with mental health, like we said, we all suffer. I almost committed suicide in 2015.
I hate to hear that. I'm glad you're still here with us.
I'm definitely glad, because so it's going to kind of go spiritual, but I'm definitely going to tell you this brief story. So 2015, I moved to Dallas. Mm-hmm. That was in 2015, but I had suffered so much. I was going through a mental war, because leaving St. Louis, I was working for my alma mater. I felt like I was neglected. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was used. I felt like I wasn't wanted, in a sense of actually like my abilities were there. Everybody mm-hmm. saw my abilities and what I can do, because it showed forth the time I was there. Like anything that I did, it flourished. Mm-hmm. Like it was blessed. I was gifted. I was favored. Like, it just, if I put my hands on it, it flourished. Any program, any event, anything that I did, it just grew. People loved me, had a favorite man, people enjoyed my programs, people enjoyed me. But then, you know, you had them haters. Yeah. And then my pockets, I did it for the passion, but then, you know, my pockets were flat, when I say that. Like, I was getting paid pennies for what I was doing, and then they were, my alma mater was bringing people in.
There's no difference. Can you tell people what that means? Cause so
my alma mater, alma mater is the school I went to.
Some people don't know
They don't know.
I actually learned of that term last year. So
are you serious?
Yes, okay. I've never heard that. So that's why I said that.
Yeah. My alma mater is Harris State University, St. Louis, Missouri, homegrown. But they were in transition of building and bringing in new people, which is fine. But in the process of bringing new people in, sometimes you suffer the fact that somebody can get into a spot either above you or right next to you that don't have as much education.
True.
And me being from the urban community, the hood, and really pushing forward because I wanted better for myself, and I went to school, did, you just had that picture in your mind, like, I'm going to get this.
Right.
And it didn't happen. So I was going through the trauma of doing all this stuff, being successful at doing it, but I wouldn't get the money that I thought I was supposed to get. And then people coming behind me that didn't have as much education or as much experience that I had, and they was getting paid, got frustrated.
You start self-doubting.
Exactly. And it's like, dang, what am I worth? And then, you know, you have the relationship problems, you have the life problems and all that stuff. Like, it was a point in time, and I'm going to put this out there, it was a point in time, right before I left, I was drinking so much. And I was like, and I'm not going to say I wasn't like a casual drinker, but I was drinking so much to my one of my business partner. I put him out, Roy Harris. Shout out to Roy Harris.
Hey, Roy.
There's my dude. Still my business partner today, and everything that I do. And he actually, this is when you know that it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We was at this bar, and we was meeting there like every day at the work, and we was there for hours, and we were just spending money. We was there so much. It's like I was basically Norm. You know, from Cheers, like when I got there, Joe, they were like, what's up, Joe? Like, I was knowing.
They started knowing, oh, yeah. I got you.
Yeah, I got you. Like, I did not have to ask for my drink because they knew what I was drinking. That's how crazy. Bad it got. So we sit down, we talking and whatever, and I'm just throwing them back. I'm taking a shot. Like, these are not regular alcoholic nights where you just are just having a drink to lay back.
Right.
I'm taking shots and shots and shots. 7, 8, 9, 10 shots a day.
Right.
And then drinking too. Standing at the bar, maybe these mm-hmm. little bars are maybe like 3-4 hours. So he told me, bro, I didn't want to say nothing, but he was like, man, what's really going on? I said, well, I'm like, what's something? We drinking, we good. He was like, no, bro. He said, I've been knowing you for 10 years. He was like, at that time it was like 10 years. He was like, bro, something wrong. I know, because you're actually like, not just drinking, but just like your aggression. Mm-hmm. Even your aggression with women, because I think I just went through a breakup. Mm-hmm. Like, you're wrestling with women right now the last 6 months, and then you're drinking, it's like you real hard. Like, that ain't your character, that ain't you. He was like, and it ain't really the alcohol, I think it's something deeper. He said, what's up? So we talked about it, and I kind of broke down and like just told him. He's like, okay. He's like, bro, but he said, bro, you better than that. He said, be you. I said, all right, be me. Still drank for a long time, but I started being me. But then I said, well, I made a decision and I prayed about it. And I was like, you know, God, if it's for me to move to Dallas, like I always wanted to, open up the doors. Mm-hmm. Like, by any means necessary, open up the door and make it scot-free.
Right.
He did that. Like, it was so easy to get here. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't, when I say so easy to get here, I wasn't supposed to be here. Like, the way it happened, like, apartment, like the guy, all right, like the guy who gave me an apartment without a job, without financial stuff, without anything. He gave me an apartment. He ended up, check it out, and then he ended up getting fired 3 weeks later.
Wow.
So it's like he was in perfect position to get me here, mm-hmm. to give me a place, whatever. Well, didn't have a gig, and didn't really think about, like, you thinking like, okay, we in Dallas, it's big, where I got 2 degrees, I'm good, I'm gonna find a gig. Man, it took me like 8 months to find a gig, right?
So that's stressful within it itself.
Because I had a lump sum of money, but we don't have money replacing that money.
Exactly.
It just decreased.
It wasn't residual income.
Exactly.
At the time.
Exactly. So I was getting depressed. I'm already in a new city. This is after the fact that I left.
No family.
No family here, nothing like that. And then, you know, you're going back and forth with a situation with your relationships. Then you got not even just your relationship, your friendships.
This still a relationship, right, relationship, whether it's friendships, family, or whatever. Boyfriend,
right, dude,
girlfriend.
Like, it's like, it was crazy. And I was looking in the mirror one day, I'll never forget it. I was looking in the mirror, had my gun laying right down the bed. And I was just like, I can end it all, and I don't think anybody would care. Like, you be in a mental battle like that, and you'd be like,
and that's crazy because people really, really go through stuff like
that. Yes, they do. Because I talk to them all the time. And I never thought I would be at that point. Because you never think, like, I never kill myself, whatever. But I was at that breaking point. Like, I can end it all. And I could just disappear.
Well, I'm glad you didn't.
I'm glad I didn't either. But then, I ain't going to lie. I had a pistol in my hand. Cocked it, whatever. And I heard a voice. And it said, if you kill yourself, thank you. If you kill yourself, you're gonna kill a lot of people along with you. I said, huh? He said, if you kill yourself, it's so many people who are going to live hopeless because you're so hopeful. I said, what? I had to think about it, like, well, Joe, what do you do? What's your passion? What are you built to do? Empowering, knowing what you want to do. That's one of the reasons I came here, to get that started. Not to stay, but to get it started.
Right.
And it was starting, but it wasn't where I wanted to be. He said, and the voice was like, if you take your life, you're going to take a lot of people with you. Because I didn't know that I would be touching hundreds of thousands of millions of people during this course of my life.
None of us know that. Believe it or not, it's people that look up to us that we probably we don't even know.
Right, because I had, like, even on my YouTube channel, I had people reach out to me from all over the world. just asking me questions. Like, I love your content. You know, it, like, I don't have a lot of followers. Follow me on YouTube. But they'd be like,
Think Smart TV.
Think Smart TV. I'd be like, dang, like, a lot of people actually enjoy what I do. And it's like, I didn't realize it at the time. So I'm thinking, and I hear the voice, and I understood exactly what it was saying, and exactly who it was. It was God. And I was like, okay, God, I can't do it, but I'm in pain. And it was like, okay. And that's when I understood, and it took me a little bit longer, a couple years, that sometimes God, like, he is definitely straightforward, but I understand that sometimes God don't care about your emotions. Because when you look and you think about what you go through to get past that next step,
man,
like, he cares about your emotions, but he does not care about your emotions to get you to where you need to be.
Right.
Because it's
because
gonna
he already know what he has planned for.
Exactly,
you.
Because it's gonna be emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, that's,
you gotta fight through it, and that's when he said, this is what he told me. He said, push through.
And that's crazy because,
and he said so simple, he's like, it's hard. My dude, it's hard. But he's like, you got this.
But that's who he is.
Exactly.
You know, he's the Father. So of course he know what he has planned, and as they always say, God won't put nothing on you that you can't handle.
Right.
It's overbearing to us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
and I say all of that to say, if somebody out there that's thinking about committing suicide, don't do it. Don't do
it.
The
crazy thing is, actually, I've had two close friends, actually, literally, just last week, like, publicly mentioned it on Facebook.
Yeah.
So, yes, I've actually seen, and it's two people that I never would have thought would have even let that escape their lips, but obviously, they dealing with a whole bunch of pain that they just couldn't handle at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thankful that they still here with us. So
I got a friend that her daddy did it.
See,
he took his life. He and then he set it up like the way he did it. Like, you know,
that's sad.
He set it up and then he just blew his brains out.
Like,
and it's like, I'm like, I don't think I'm a man. I'm a grown man, and I'm not afraid of anything. But even in the course of me wanting to do it, I was like, I think I can pull the trigger, because that's deep.
Yeah, that's a different
next level stuff.
Yeah, and that's crazy. As much trauma as I've been through, that's one thing I can honestly and gracefully say is that I have never come to that point.
Man, I'm glad you haven't, because
I think I did when I was probably like 15 or 16. I did it for attention or some shit because
right.
I didn't get something. But I've never, and literally, I've been through a lot. Like, I literally just was telling one of my friends the other day, and he was just like, you wouldn't even know that you dealt with any other things that you dealt with. He was like, because you're such a ray of sunshine. Like,
exactly.
Oh, thank you.
That's what people tell me all the time. Like, I never thought you did. You would have thought like that. Like, man.
Because we have to put this mask on and get up, and we have to continue to work hard towards things every single day, because just like you just stated, it's people that look up to us.
Yeah.
And if we give up, it's like we letting them down, because they live in their hopes and dreams through us praying. You know what I'm saying? That they get to a point in life where they can do what
you give
we
them
do.
Hope. You are the energy that gives them hope. And some people are, it's,
that's
it's
a gift and a curse,
it's
though.
It is a gift and a curse. Because you were born to be a, you know, everybody's a battery, but everybody might not be that big triple A whatever battery that gives off energy, that gives batteries energy.
Right.
And some people are that people, and it's not, and people's like, oh, you think you're special? Hey, I didn't ask for this.
No, I say I know I'm special because the Father above told
of
me that.
Of course that. Man,
well, I mean, it's just the truth.
It is just the truth. You know what? And you know what? And I take it and I say I'm grateful and I'm thankful for it. And I thank God for it, because I do help a lot of people. I have a lot of people that call me on a regular basis. And I help them talk through their problems. I help talk through their problems. And I don't have one degree in counseling.
That's okay.
One degree.
But for some reason, we are the people that they
come to. Right. My degrees are in advertising and marketing. I don't have a degree in counseling, but people say, Joe, you're just easy to talk to. And I say, okay, you know, I just, because I've learned to listen to understand and not listen to respond.
Exactly.
And
then again, considering the fact that we probably understand the hardships that people mm-hmm. going through, mm-hmm. we understand them. You know what I'm saying? So we have mm-hmm. a little more compassion than an average person would.
Right.
Because you have some people that was born with silver spoons in their damn mouth. And when I say silver spoons, I mean either both parents in a home or they were able to, you know, go to college, school mm-hmm. paid for, got cars at 16.
I got bills.
No, that's what I'm saying. Right, right. Like, but I'm just saying you have people that's like that, that literally don't understand the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So when they, you know, are friends with you, that's, and that's another thing with me, I don't have a lot of friends because I live in my truth, and that's one thing I admire about my damn self. So mm-hmm. I toot my own horn, toot. Like, I say that because, no, really, because I've noticed a lot of my friendships, relationships, and everything have failed because people were not living in their truth.
Mm-hmm.
And people can't handle me because I'm a realist. And it's just like, I'm what you see is what you get. I'm transparent. I tell you what I want you to know.
Mm.
And you know what I'm saying? So if stuff like this, I don't have a problem with knowing because eventually I'm working on my book. So eventually you're going to know. I actually am doing a process book now, or how-to book, or how to get over depression without taking medication.
That's dope.
So I've actually come. I came through a writer's block, but you know, now that I'm starting to back doing podcasting and stuff, I'm kind of getting back into it. But the reason why I chose that is because I did it without medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because so many people on antidepressants, they get addicted to this stuff. I used to work.
It's toxic.
I'm a medical assistant, a CNA, and you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to transition right now to EMT. So I've been in the medical field for over 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like I've been dealing with that type of stuff, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. for years. So I totally understand it. And I just recently, last year, was working at a drug and alcohol, you know what I'm saying, addiction campus. So it's just like those things is just, people don't understand that it's an illness. Alcoholism is an illness. That's a disease, I'm sorry. That's a disease. And I learned that just working there because when I actually looked it up, that's considered a mental illness.
Mm.
And when you looked it up, they said alcoholism and drug addiction are diseases. Mm. And they really are, though. But people, they don't look at it that way. Like, mm-hmm. I used to argue with people, what was it, just a few months ago.
A disease, then.
No, for but it, right. it really is right, considered
right.
a disease,
right. I
though.
Get it.
People don't think smoking they don't think smoking weed is an addiction.
It is.
And I know, we know this,
yeah.
But I literally was debating with people and trying to get them to understand anything that alter your thoughts, your mind, mm-hmm. the way you interact with people, anything. Mm-hmm. I said, and you have to have that to function that is an addiction. You
Even
know what I'm
people.
Saying? Like, seriously, though, you can be addicted to people. People mm-hmm. don't get that, though. Like, people's like, when have you ever seen marijuana kill somebody? I didn't say it had to kill you, mm-hmm. but it's still an addiction. Really.
Yeah,
whether,
yeah,
however you want to play it, it's an
food
addiction.
Food is an addiction. That's how you got, that's why you got
obesity.
Obesity.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But again, that's why I say people be so closed-minded, they don't open their brains to that. But,
you
know, I started off with childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So I know for sure I have plenty of mental health issues as far as I feel like that sometimes I suffer with abandonment issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm woman enough to admit that, but see, it's not people out there to admit their issues. So that's why I said I don't have a lot of friends because some of them are in denial, and I hate to say it, they really are.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend now, and I love her to death, and she probably gonna get mad if she listens to this.
I'm not
gonna say her name.
Okay.
I'm not, but she's gonna know I'm talking about her.
Okay.
But when you try to explain something to her,
mm-hmm.
it's like knocking on this table.
Mm.
She don't listen. She don't want to hear it because she just thinks that she don't have no problem. She don't think it's nothing wrong with her.
She hasn't agreed and accepted.
Has not accepted the fact that she has some type of issue. Like, she even told me before.
That's the first thing you have to do.
Is to admit you have a problem.
Yeah,
she ain't trying to. She always says she's afraid to struggle because she's so bougie. It makes me sick to the point where I can only deal
with
her.
Why is she so bougie? Because I know she's from the urban community.
Yeah, she is. She's from St. Louis, too. She lives
well,
here. The thing is, she married an African. She, you know what I'm saying?
Ah.
And when you go from, and true, before she married him, she said she had to take care of herself, da 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 da. I said, I get that, but you still had your daddy that has money, you know what I'm saying, to help you when you needed stuff. I didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
When you got married, you didn't work, you know what I'm saying, for 2 years. He took care of everything. So
and
it's like,
nothing wrong with that.
No, it's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
But when, I don't even know how to explain it because I don't want to tell her business. I'll talk about that later.
Right.
But it's just like, I don't really know how to explain how bougie she is. Like right now, if we were sitting in here, this would drive her nuts.
Why? This is great.
That's what I'm saying. We us, normal people try to be halfway normal would be like, that's fine. No, because it's too much clutter. That drives her crazy. And, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like,
clutter? It ain't even clutter. This is just the fact that...
But that's how bad she is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Any little small thing that's normal to most people mm-hmm. would drive her crazy. We went out one day, and literally she got mad and sat in the car until I left the club because she did not want to stand in that line. It was just too many people. And she was tired, high. I mean,
you know what? That kind of goes into, like, my book. I'm going to talk about that. But keep going.
But no, I'm just saying. But it's just, like, with her, we can go out somewhere. And it's so frustrating. Like, I be trying to explain to her. I'm like, do you not understand something is wrong
just
with
tedious.
You? No, but I told her. But I said, something is wrong with you.
Yeah, yeah,
I said, I can't think of a name of it yet.
She has tedious.
You have an issue.
It's tedious that she would think that, like where we are right now, we're in a studio.
We're in a recording
studio.
Because it's too much going on.
So
that will bother her.
You're
going
to have cameras. You're going to have mics and lights places.
But the thing is, she's been through a lot. And that's what I'm trying to explain to her. That you have been through so much. I said, you are so cold-hearted. Some stuff that you say, like, okay, for instance, I figured out something. We were at the nail shop the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And her friend, she got her kids iPhone. Nothing wrong with that, but I just honestly feel at a certain age, these children should not have no damn iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Just certain, that's just me. Parent how you want to parent. Mm-hmm. I don't have children, but I just know that my child, especially if they're going to be doing stuff they shouldn't be doing, or better yet, if I feel like it's going to be a distraction, you're not getting a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a regular phone for emergency reasons only. You know what I'm saying? No Wi-Fi, no nothing. If that's how I feel I have to do you, that's fine. But she made a comment because her kids got, you know, iPhones or whatever. And I guess her friend made a comment about it.
On social media?
No. She was on the phone with him. He texted her. And her response was rude as hell. She was like, well, that's just you. Do that. Something. She was just like, don't worry about what the hell I do. Or something she said. But her response was very rude because she asked me. She was like, do you think that's rude? I was like, yeah, that was rude as hell. I was like, why would you respond like that? I said, you asked him a question. He answered your question. And then you didn't like the response. She wanted them people. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's frustrating.
Right. Before I get into the book thing, you know, it's we live in a world where we live in a selfish world. Like, this generation, it's actually
selfish as hell.
It's actually biblical prophecy that the world is going to be more into themselves than like helping others. Because, you know, you're supposed to love your neighbor. You're supposed to love people in general.
True.
And people don't understand the essence of life. Is giving and receiving, right? But you have to give to receive. Like, we talk about the universe all the time.
Right.
People talk about the universe. You have to put out in the universe what you want to receive in the universe, right?
So, to elaborate on that, and I'm speaking for myself, and I've heard other people too, though, mm-hmm. but what if you put out all the good you can and you still don't receive that back?
But this is the thing. It's impossible for you not to receive it back. It will come back to you because you're sowing.
Maybe just not the way we want it.
Right. You're sowing into it. It's like, all right, it's just like planting. If you plant an apple tree, you're not going to get oranges. It's impossible for you to get oranges.
True.
If you plant oranges, you're not going to get apples. You can't plant something and not receive that. But the thing about it is, like you're talking about, when it comes back or how long will it come back? Because sometimes we're waiting on it to come back.
Just I know like, I am. I'm not even gonna lie.
Just like you plant something, it takes time. Like if you plant an apple tree, it's gonna take a minute for it to be an apple tree.
Because
it has to build roots, it has to be watered, it has to be sunlight, has to hit it. All of that has to happen. So you have to understand that it takes time for it to come back. Sometimes it comes back like this, like real quick. But sometimes it doesn't. What people have to understand is when we talk about the universe. Planting, whatever the case may be, and it's with mental health too. If you put that energy out there, and we call it energy now, and you put that energy in the atmosphere of the universe, it's going to come back, right?
Right.
And people don't understand that your mental status, no matter if you like, because people want to say, oh, this is just how I am. No, it is not. It's how you want to be.
Thank you.
That's
her go-to
like that.
Saying.
You choose, like my book is mm-hmm. called Choose Your Script, Thinking Positive in a Negative World.
I can't wait for you to come up there.
Appreciate it. You choose exactly what you want out of life, and it manifests to become reality, your reality. So people like, this is just how I am. You can choose to be a good person or you can choose to be a bad person. True. But it's your choice. It's not who you, it's not, you're designed, God designed everybody to be a great person.
But that's a mental disorder.
It is a mental disorder.
That's what I'm saying. People, that's what I'm saying. We all have them. Every single individual in this world has some type of mental disorder, and whether it's anxiety, depression, anything.
Man, it is. But, okay. And I'm learning, like, I want to talk about, because you're like, Joe, let's talk about mental, da da da.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool. And I'm really big on the transition of your mind, but you have to, like, what people don't understand is, like, I talk to people all the time, and it was like, well, Joe, how do you get to that point to where you think the way you think? How did it just happen? I said, it didn't just happen for me. But you have to say, I have a plan. I want to think different. I want to see different results. So how do I get there? Man, I go to sleep listening to audio books. I read books, so many books. Because I'm a deep reader. It took me forever, but the last 10 years of my life, I've been such a reader. I listen to audio books. In my car, like, I turn off the radio. It's good to listen to radio if you want to listen to it for music, you know what I'm saying, for that, because it's still a spiritual thing, but you have to embed yourself with this information and meditate on that information on a regular basis to actually get yourself to discipline yourself to change your thought process. Because you don't, you'll never get there. You can go to a million conferences, you can go to a million workshops, and still not get nothing from it because you're not disciplining yourself to do it outside of these conferences.
That goes with the saying, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make them drink.
Exactly.
You can't help nobody that don't want
to
be helped.
You
want
to be helped. You can go to, you can talk about the church and the mosque and all these religious places that people go to. They can go every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but if you don't discipline yourself to apply it to your life,
right,
it will never happen.
That's something that we're gonna have to change. that's something we have to change.
And that's a mental. That deals with your mental. If you want anything out of life, you have to understand that your mind, your brain, is one of the greatest tool and the greatest thing we have is our spirit. We all spiritual beings. The second greatest thing I say we have is our mind.
That's why they say a mind is a terrible thing.
That's a very, very accurate. I'm bringing that back to life. St. Louis, shout outs. I'm coming home. I'm doing a literacy awareness campaign called Think Smart and Read to bring back the literacy and bring back literacy awareness.
So make sure y'all attend.
Make sure you come out, but only the first 50 people get in, because after that we cut it out because I can't do it that big this first time because it's just a campaign.
Hey, you start off small and work your way up.
But when I come back to Dallas, we're doing it in Dallas in January, February. I talked to a bunch of educators here. They love the program. They love what I want to do, follow with the workshops. They love it. So we're going to do it here too. But in St. Louis, I want to do it real small. Have the right people there. Let's talk about it because I want this thing to move.
Right.
Because it all starts in the beginning of transitioning your thought process. That's mental. Because mental health sometimes, all the time, starts with you saying, I won't change.
Yeah.
If you don't agree and say, I want to change, it will never happen for you.
That's what I'm saying. People, you have to want to change. And this is something that I was just speaking earlier. Like I said, I've been through a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't even know how to describe it up again. Like, my first trauma as a child, I was molested by my own cousin at 3 years old.
Mm.
So I remember exactly what happened. Like, it fades a little bit, but I remember the significant parts. And it's sad because it's like when you go through traumatic instances or situations like that, for a three-year-old to remember it is kind of, I don't know, it fucks me up. Because I just really can remember that. And it's like, I feel that a lot of people ask me, you know, why I don't talk to my family. That's why. Mm-hmm. My father and them, I feel like, you know, kind of shunned me and made me the black sheep of the family. And I'm just like, you know, I never asked to be molested, you know, when I was a child. Like, I think my cousin was like 13 at the time, maybe, or whatever. And, you know, my mother was just like, my grandmother tried to blame it, you know, on my cousin having lead poisoning, whatever the case may be, you know, right from wrong. And at the same time, even if he, you know what I'm saying, didn't know right from wrong, you know what I'm saying, he had some issue, whatever the case may be, for you to make me feel like, you know what I'm saying, I did something, I feel like that was very, very hurtful, and that's like one of the number one reasons as to why I don't mess with my dad's side of the family. And I'm 32 years old, and I literally have no relationship, literally.
I got an exclusive for you.
Oh, Jesus, what's that?
I got an exclusive, man. I've never said this on any podcast. I've never told anybody this. This has been kept secret of mine for the last 30 plus years of my life. I got an exclusive for you. I got an exclusive for y'all. Oh, yeah. I was molested, though, also. By my cousin. I was about maybe about seven. About 7 months. I won't reveal her name, but me saying this, people of my family who know, they'll know who it is. It was in Chicago. I'm from St. Louis, but it was in Chicago. My grandfather's in Chicago. I was staying with one of my cousins. She was babysitting me. She was a rebel. She was definitely a rebel. She was wild out there in the streets. It's funny because she's like almost 50 now. She's just now kind of calming down.
Mm-hmm.
But she did some things. She did some things that I would never forget. I was like 7, 6, 7, 8, whatever.
I'm actually happy that you actually chose to do that on my show.
Yeah.
But the reason why I'm saying I'm happy about that is because it's a lot of men out here
mm-hmm.
that have had mm-hmm. that happen, mm-hmm. and they have not spoken about it. And that causes a lot of anger buildup.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
That causes you to become so cold-hearted. And that's what I'm saying. Like, Common just came out about that. You know what I'm saying? And it happened to him. He actually was on, he got a book about it. He was, I think, talking to Oprah or some interview I seen. He actually talked about it. And he just said he chose to talk about it because it's too many men out here, he said, that has experienced it but won't speak about it.
Interesting. Because I just, at the moment, I was just like, someone's just like, tell it because it's gonna help somebody. Like, literally, like, I'm glad I got these glasses because I tear up. And I'm holding back.
Oh, you good?
I'm holding back. But yeah, that situation, holding in that, knowing that, I don't know, like, you don't really know how it affects you until you get older. You start because you relive those
days.
Again. I would say this, my father's side of the family. We suffer from, I say, whoredom, and I fight that battle because I don't want to live that life, and that sexual struggle
mm-hmm.
of wanting it all the time. Had to fight that, but I've done a great job at it because in my mind, it's like, you know, you have to transition your mind to like, Joe, again. Choose your script. What do you want out of life? Do you want, like, cause you see examples.
Right.
You see all these examples, like, do you wanna live that and go through that struggle? No. So how do you change it? You have to discipline yourself. And if you gotta hold yourself, find another hobby, find something that's gonna take up your time, you have to do it.
And see, it's a struggle for men to do that. It's not a struggle for us women.
It's not a struggle for y'all. For some reason, like,
for
I'm
some reason.
They are okay, and they be like, I'm celibate. Like, okay.
I won't say I'm celibate, but I was just recently talking to somebody, and ever since me and that person had stopped talking, I have not slept with nobody. Because that's just me. I'm one of those people that if I sleep with you, I'm sleeping just with you.
Right.
I've never been the type to sleep with multiple people at the same time. It's too, nowadays, it's too nasty out here. You know what I'm saying? You can't do that. So I'm one of them people. I'm so focused on getting both my business together and getting back into stuff like that.
You
like you just said, you have to train your mind
discipline.
To focus on what
you
do. Yeah, it's discipline.
It's discipline.
But it's so easy for us. It kind of, you know what I'm saying? I have my days, of course. We hormonal. We want it. But at the same time, you think about, like, dang.
What do you want out of life?
Exactly.
Like
to
what's
sleep
more,
with this
what's,
other person.
What's more important
what?
To me? Because the thing about it is I learned, and a lot of people, I don't like what I got to say. I learned a long time ago that it ain't empowering. It's just something to do. And it don't bring happiness. It does not bring happiness.
But you'll be amazed at how many people actually go to that.
For
like people that's
addicted to sex. After you do it, it's like, okay, it's stuck with her, stuck with her, stuck with her, stuck with her. Because I went through a period of time in my life when I was like that, because it's like the accepted thing to do. And I was like, okay. After I did that, I was like.
Do you think you were like looking for something, trying to fill a void?
I was. You do be trying to fill a void, and then you don't, but this thing is a void that you'll never fill. You're true. Always searching, and you like, you're done, you're like,
having sex, that moment lasts for however long, you know what I'm saying?
After that explosion, you be like, okay, I can go home. it was like what 50 Cent said, it was nothing. You be like, no matter how good, you be like, it was good, it was good, but nothing was ever, during that time in my life, it was nothing ever that was just so mind-blowing, because I was like, oh, I'm just staying. Okay, case scenario. I have a few young ladies that call me for mental, mental guidance and just like counseling and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. These are young ladies that went to the collegiate institution that I worked at, mm-hmm. my alma mater. And I mean, I talked to a lot of people, but they called me particularly on their guy friends that they were talking to, because they was trying to figure out like, if this, they was like, it's all about sex. They think it's all about sex. And I told them, sex ain't love and love ain't sex.
True.
I said, you have to understand that.
They was like, I need somebody to stimulate me mentally as well.
Exactly. They was like, what you mean, Joe? I was like, you say he was your best sex partner. And that's why you so-called love him. I said, that's not love. That's infatuation. I said, but what if you're not his best sex partner? So you're in love with him, but he's not in love with you. Exactly. So now you're chasing him because of sex. I said, sex